Okay, we're glad you're back with us at GoldSeek.com for another Gold Nugget segment. Today's very special guest, Dr. Ron Paul. Well, my next guest requires no introduction. For decades as a congressman on Capitol Hill, Dr. Ron Paul battled for individual liberties and rights. He's now continuing the struggle with the pen and the microphone with his latest book and radio show. Welcome, Dr. Paul.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to be with you.
In your latest Freedom Report, you say that news of the next chairman of the Federal Reserve System has received high praise from Wall Street. But in reality, it really doesn't matter who maybe takes over at the helm. The $85 billion money printing spree per month will continue, with the Fed balance sheet now approaching $4 trillion, on track for $5 trillion as soon as this time next year.
Well, my point was that things will continue, whether you change the chairman or not. I poked fun at him and said that my choice for the Fed chairman was NODA, that is, none of the above, because I don't like the Fed and it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But there have been others that point out that maybe there is a little bit difference between Summers and Yellen. If it is, it only means that Yellen is a more likely to inflate and print more money than Summers might have had, if there is such a thing as printing more than $85 billion a month. But I suspect that she is going to pursue the same silly arguments about monetary easing. We'll continue it. She certainly won't slow it up. She's going to make it probably worse.
A frightening thought. And you also point out that by continually printing money, the Fed tampers with the natural rhythm of the economic cycle. That's what economist Joseph Schumpeter referred to as creative destruction. A simple analogy, I think, is a controlled forest fire where rangers deliberately burn undergrowth to prevent a full-scale blaze. Similarly, without allowing credit to contract, businesses to fail, inevitably this economic landscape could become a raging inferno.
What seems to be a benefit is actually a hindrance. They say, well, we kept it from getting worse, but no, they've just delayed the inevitable and made the problem that much greater. What seems so strange to me, at least from the free market viewpoint, is that we're asking for a correction. We think when the Federal Reserve and Congress distorts things, and they work together, they spend too much money and the Fed accommodates, that when it gets grossly out of whack, we should get it back in order. So they're always fighting the market. The market wants the correction. So it's a shame that correction has such a bad name to it, because nobody wants to correct it. Correction should be a good thing. If I'm taking care of a patient and they're doing something wrong, I want to correct it, even though it may bother that individual maybe to eat less or exercise more. In the marketplace, they don't want to have the correction, because politically it's not acceptable, you know, to actually be frugal or spend less or save money and work harder. That's not acceptable these days. Everybody believes that you can create wealth out of a printing press. And in some ways, we in this country have been able to get away with this because we have been very wealthy, we're very powerful militarily, we've had the reserve currency of the world. But I think it's all deception, and the longer it goes on, the greater the danger.
You know, I think it's a great point. By exporting our inflation through essentially printing of dollars as the reserve currency in the petrodollar scenario there, we really have had this amazing luxury for 30, 40 years where profligacy was acceptable and personal responsibility was just less appropriate. But I think that's changing. There's a sea change headed this way.
If there wasn't a change, it would mean that Americans wouldn't have to work, because, you know, we could just print the money and everybody would accept it. But we know that's not the case, and we know there are subtle changes right now. You know, they're not gobbling up mortgage debt anymore, and the Fed has the responsibility to buy most of it, most treasury debt and mortgage debt. So it's slowly changing. And I was just looking today at the interest rates, and I really think the bond markets have taken a change, and interest rates have started up, although slowly. And that'll be a big event. You know, if rates keep creeping up, and then people get very worried about the lasting value of a bond, and nobody buys them, and people realize what's going on, we're going to see higher interest rates, and the Fed won't have. Right now, they have some type of control over it. You know, they can manipulate interest rates. rates, when things are going, they can lower rates, make rates lower than people anticipate. But eventually they'll lose that, and I think we may be approaching that time.
You know, in a recent article, you discussed the new government concept of chained CPI. That's to measure the effect of inflation on people's standards of living. And essentially, the process involves substitution, where higher prices just aren't such a big problem when you can simply substitute a healthy meal with a greasy meal at a fast food restaurant. You say that this is a sleight of hand designed to trick the everyday folks, we the people, by claiming prices are low. Social Security payments are much lower. That helps out the government. You know, instead of letting them eat cake, perhaps the new slogan should be let them eat hamburgers.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, this is not something brand new for governments. I think governments have lied and deceived us in many ways. They certainly have done that in the monetary system. Just look at how long they lied to us about the true conversion value of the dollar in gold. You know, for many, many years, they were able to say, well, the dollar is as good as gold, and it's at $35 an ounce. And they did that for decades. And the psychology, was able to go along with it, you know, after World War II. But finally, those who predicted in the 60s that would break down, they surely did. But they will deceive and lie and try to fudge no matter what they do. But eventually, you know, the truth comes out, because I speak a lot around the country, and a lot of, you know, even during the time I was in the presidential campaign, the audience, especially the elderly in the audience, they knew that the prices were going up more than 1.8%. And that's just there to deceive the people that the QE can continue and it's not harmful. And on the short run, they fool people. On the long run, they can't.
You know, after 12 consecutive winning years, gold continues to struggle this year. But one wonders just how long this trend can persist. The a much maligned digital currency, Bitcoin, crossed $400. If digital money, you know, this intangible money, can soar 100-fold in just a few months as an alternative to this crumbling fiat currency system, how high will real tangible money like gold and silver fly when the fiat money loses its global stranglehold?
It's going to go up a lot. I don't think anybody can predict the exact amount, and it depends on what happens when it starts going up. But when you think not too many years ago it was $200, it went up as much as $800, and it's still very, very high. That's a high percentage increase. So it's it depends on what we do. If we straighten up our act, maybe they can get under control. But if not, so often what happens, you know, all they can do is print the money, and they think we're immune from that. But if we get in that, then it's infinity. You know, everybody gets out of the dollar rather quickly. What they don't realize is how quickly that can go. The end stages go very, very rapidly. Greenspan, in his new book, made the comment. He says, I talked to so-and-so, and everybody was looking at it, and these were real experts, and nobody knew there was a crisis coming. And I thought, well, he didn't talk to some hard money people. He didn't talk to the free market economists, because there were plenty. There wasn't just one or two of us out there talking about it. But that's what his argument is. Nobody could conceivably know this, and it didn't have anything to do with the monetary system.
You know, the debt ceiling and government shutdown set a dangerous precedent recently. Few Americans, I think, understand that the debt limit was not actually reestablished. It was delayed until the new year, and there is currently no limit on the national debt. And I'd like to know what you think this portends for us.
I think this is one of the biggest events and the biggest issue that came out of that closing down of the government, because in theory it's no limits up until February 15th. Of course, they were making up for past debt increases, because they sort of nominally froze the debt, but they were still spending it, so they've caught up with it, and it's added $800 billion, and they're going to keep doing it, and they'll add on plenty. But the whole thing is, on February 15th, you don't go back to automatic controls. The Congress has to act. The Congress has to pass a law to reclaim their authority. And if the president vetoes the bill, you know, to reclaim the congressional authority over the deficit, the bill doesn't pass, and then you'd have to override it. So essentially, it's been canceled. So we may never see a debt limit return. Now, that should be, of course, frightening to the markets. That should, you know, scare a few people. It should be very, very strong for gold. But we do know that events don't immediately translate into price changes and stock markets. It takes time, and there's a lot of mob psychology in there. But when the time comes, if these events are delayed, then they're more, they're of greater consequence when they do hit. They can delay it, but then it comes and it's excessive.
Well, you know, it really was a wake-up call to one agency. China's top debt ratings agency, you may have read, recently downgraded the U.S. Treasury from A to A-. And now that I think that this traditional risk-free investment is no longer, as you might say, risk-free, one wonders how long it's going to be before investors wake up to the only truly risk-free investments, gold and silver.
Well, it's I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of people been selling gold, and gold prices are down, but there's also a lot of people buying gold. So I'm just wondering if somebody studies those international statistics, it just may well be the Chinese that's buying that up, and there's evidence that that is happening. They mine a lot of gold, and they even import gold, so they're saving it. I think they're going to be an economic power. And of course, there's a lot of Chinese bashing in Washington. It was very popular to blame the Chinese. They're not the greatest free market country in the world, but to blame them for our problems and saying, well, they want to be labeled currency manipulator. Well, what are we? You know, that's what the Fed's job is, to manipulate the currency. But there's a lot of people in Congress would like to blame the Chinese, but I think they're speaking out, and I think most of us know where they stand, and I think they are in the business of accumulating gold, and when everybody discovers that, then you're going to see a sudden turnaround.
Well, you know, I'd liken it to IBM bashing that upstart Microsoft about 15, 20 years ago. It was inevitable. If IBM, i.e. the U.S. government, had perhaps taken their cue from the upstart, you know, maybe they could have sidestepped a lot of economic carnage down the road. I also wanted to ask your thoughts on the growing trend of gold repatriation. You know, this is an interesting story here. Several European countries started the trend of demanding their leased and stored gold back from Fort Knox, New York, and London. And the idea seems to be gaining some momentum. Mexico and Venezuela also made similar requests. Venezuela got all their gold back before Hugo Chavez's untimely death there. And your adopted state of Texas asked the Fed for its gold reserves. Any thoughts here?
Yeah, I think it's a sign of the times. I think it's very, very important, but I don't think it's yet been discounted in the market. Most people are ignoring it, but those of us who have noticed what's going on, I think that we're going to be on the right side of that, because the fact that we didn't give Germany their gold back when they asked for it, it might take 7 years to get it, that should be a huge event. And yet, nothing really happened. Then it raises the question of what does the federal government actually hold? What's at Fort Knox? What does the Federal Reserve have? And they never permit a true audit. So I'd like to say to them what they say to so many of us: if you don't have anything to hide, why can't we investigate what you're doing? But the one big difference is they have no right to know what we're doing. We have every obligation to know what they're doing and tell us what they have in the bank.
Well said. You know, another disturbing theme as we wrap up here affecting investors today is the threat of bail-ins. You know, governments, institutions are including stealthy clauses in the paperwork that redefines, I think, financial confiscation. Should Americans be concerned of a Cyprus-like or maybe MF Global-like rehypothecation or confiscation scenario?
Well, I think so. I don't think we're on the verge of that, but that's the trend of countries. They will confiscate. They'll make you buy certain things, or they'll take your pension funds. That is commonplace. They'll have capital controls. I think we've seen hints of that. So the government, the state itself, along with the central banks, they will do whatever they believe is in their interest, and they will always say, well, we're doing it for the poor people. And And if you believe that, you believe the bailouts helped all the poor people, and the wealthy who were taking advantage of the system, they didn't get any bailouts. So it's part of the system, and we should be prepared for it. And it's you know, a lot of people don't think about it. They have more other things to worry about, and they don't pay much attention to it. But I think ultimately that will come, and it's probably started to a small degree already.
Any other topics we've missed today that you'd like to comment on?
Well, not in particular, other than the fact I think Washington is totally out of control. The spending is going to continue, and they're going to continue to weaken the dollar. And as far as I'm concerned, looking at the value of the dollar and purchasing power and looking at interest rates are probably the two things that we have to watch carefully to see the big turnaround.
Could you tell folks about your latest book as well as any other online contact information?
The best thing is to go to ronpaulmd.com. I have a new website, webpage for personal information and all the things that I'm doing. And I have a book out on homeschooling. I'm very interested in education long term, whether it's working with the Mises Institute in college age kids studying. But I think also the educational system is in shambles. And the book talks about the mess public schools are in, and offering up a curriculum where people might get a real education.
Well, Dr. Paul, we really appreciate your time today. We know you're very busy, and we want to wish you continued success, sir.
Thank you, Chris.